instead of renouncing that and hating it and seeing it and believing truth, because the house God's building in you, you're stronger now, you know who you are in Christ, because you have your own self-love house, it blocks it from being of the Spirit of God. Let me give you a scripture that God gave me last night to help me see this, because we're getting into some deep, when we start going after fallow ground, we're going deep. We're getting past the obvious stuff. We're getting down to how do we turn this ground into ground that will produce fruit? How do we turn this ground? You know, in the parable of the sower and the seed, three of the grounds were grounds that could not produce anything real for the kingdom of God. And I think it's really cool if you start asking God, can you teach me how to change that ground instead of all these people being fruitless and barely getting in heaven, or some of them going back to the world? Maybe that's where he's talking about, let's do the greater works. Let's go deeper than my parables, in the sense of, hey, what a great question. Of course God's big enough to change fallow ground. But somebody's got to care enough to want to see it change instead of just judging everybody. I'm not just saying me, I'm saying anyone. And start to go deeper. So it's in Romans. Turn with me to Romans. This is really powerful. I was praying about this and praying about this. I said, Lord, I say, God, what is it that they can't get over their sin? Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is a horrible sin. Okay? In your good house, some of you think that if it's not fornication, if it's not a drug addiction, if it's not cursing, if you can hang on in that good house and follow all the rules, then your good house is okay and it's not sin. It's not true. Unbelief is the sin that keeps the people from going into the promised land and keeps the people from entering into the rest. And so your good works is never enough. Okay? It is sin. You've got to realize it is sin that I cannot enter into the presence of God. I'm not saying blame. The devil's in charge of all sin, okay? But we seem to have this concept that let's throw stones at this sin and let's pretend ours is okay. God's bringing down these self-made good houses of good because you want to enter in. You're crying out to enter in. He wants to give you grace. Now listen to this. He gave me this. This is so cool. I'm praying about all this. I look at Romans 7:14. And I said, God, why can't they get out of this sin? Why does it take them back in? What is it that's pulling them back into that sin? 14. And I know there's different reasons, but this is for the ones who've tried everything, have really cried out to God. This is for the people who are hungry after God, reading the Word of God, going to meetings, going to conferences. I'm talking, and it may be just a few I'm talking to, I'm talking to people who are really serious. It isn't about sin because you're still playing around with it, still enjoying it, this and that and the other. This is for people who are like, why can't I get free? You know, it's like, God, I've tried. I go to everything. I'll do anything. I'll stand on my head. I'll jump the loops. I'll fall out a million times, but help me. And if that's you, God wants to break through. So you need to bind up any hindering spirit, and you need to bind up the spirit of reasoning and intellect. Father, once again, we take authority over the spirits of reasoning and intellect, and we take the authority over the gatekeepers that stop people from hearing and putting to where there's power that comes. When your word comes forth, we just bind that up right now so that this can get over into what the house that God's building in them. So you don't realize it, but if you have a spirit of intellect, if you have a spirit of reasoning, that reasoning is the law. And that reasoning takes everything that God's pouring out into your life and it puts it in the wrong house. And it actually makes the enemy stronger in your life because it's building up that self-love house instead of understanding grace. It's where legalism comes from. It's where people who are really good with the word and they can make people impressed with the word, but there's no spirit. The spirit of God's not behind it, or the changed heart's not behind it. Now, I do know this with everybody pretty much that I know here. There is some real stuff going on in your life with God. Some stuff has broken through. Some stuff has gotten past that and there's fruit from it. Praise God. But wouldn't it be nice if every single thing you've heard and everything that's been poured into you and everything, if all of a sudden this other thing fell down, this glass where your feelings are broke, and all of a sudden the presence of God swept over everything that you've placed within yourself? You've been building up and building up But you don't, but gosh, they're building up the wrong house. And here's a scripture, 14. For your sin shall not lord it over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now let's turn that around. That would mean that your sin will lord it over you. You won't have victory over unbelief. You won't have victory over perversion. You won't have victory over addiction. You won't have victory over your sin. You've tried everything. You won't have victory over unbelief. You won't have victory over these things. Now, you might look really spiritual to people because you can really say the word. And there really is the Holy Spirit in there. And God's still using all that, okay? We don't want to come against what God's really doing. We want to take these things that you've placed in you, but the devil has charge of it because we never tore down the self-love house. So all that can pour over into the house God's building. And my gosh, Satan's going to wish he just left you alone. You'd have been better just to have learned it the normal old way than to just been so desperate to try so hard. Now listen to it. For your sin shall not lord it over you. Therefore, if your sin does lord it over you, you are under the law and not under grace. You're under the law. The law is the reason that you're not in the presence of God. The law is the curse. The law is works. I know this is deep. Just try to get it. Some of you don't need it because you don't even know what works are. You know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? See, Stevie, when you try and try and try and try and try not to sin, and you try and try and you try to do everything right, and you try to do everything right, but you've built this house where you're going to do things right because you're not going to be like your brother. You built this house where I'm going to please my dad. I'm not going to be rejected by him like I was by my mother. Do you see what I'm saying? And you built a house of being such a good kid, but is not based by the work of God in your life and grace. Therefore, sin lords it over you. Isn't this powerful? This is powerful, y'all. You don't know this is powerful. This, most of the church is in this place. Yeah, okay. The law was given by God. Okay? The law was given by God to show people what the requirements were to really please God. But the law was given so you could see that it's impossible without grace to fulfill it. And to the degree that you're gifted and talented and intellectual, you might think you're fulfilling the law. And therefore, it has more power in your life to keep you under the curse. Now, if you have a spirit of reasoning that stops the Holy Spirit from convicting you, if you have a spirit of reasoning, of intellect, that stops the Holy Spirit from convicting you, or you've given your feelings away because you don't want to be hurt that way, whatever thing it is that's stopping the Holy Spirit from being able to convict you, to really come and convict you on his own, you don't realize how much sin you're walking in. And then when somebody comes to try to help you to see it because you're hurting people or help you to stop it, what happens is you're in your good house. You're having a great time. You're thinking, well, look how I'm doing. Things are going great. Wow, Lord, thank you for the friends, all this and that. And then you're not even realizing that you're moving in haughtiness. You're not even realizing that you're undermining people. You don't even realize that you're speaking things that are hurting people, or you're in control situations that's taking the place of the Holy Ghost. You're not even thinking that. You're just so happy to be in this good house, in this self-love house where it feels good, where you can feel good about yourself. But it's based on works. It's based on what you've allowed the enemy to steal from what belongs to God and build you up. Now what happens, because you can't feel conviction because the Spirit's not on this stuff, then somebody starts to show you that you respect them, you love them, or you can see it's wrong, or you fall into blatant sin. Some of you just fall into blatant sin, and you know sin's lording over you. Others of you, somebody has to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, come and help you see that this is sin. Okay? Either way, once you get the revelation that this is sin, especially if you lock things up so tight that the Holy Spirit can't even get a hold of you to convict you, what happens then? As you run back to the I'm bad house and you close down And you begin to buy all the lies of condemnation. And you begin to feel hurt. And you begin to feel rejected. And all the things that made you jump over here and build yourself a good house. Do you see what? So it's a back and forth thing. It's back and forth. It's like, I feel so horrible. And to the degree that you've built these houses, to the degree that you've lived in these houses, do you see what I'm saying? What's happening, the house that God's building in you is not having an impact like it should, because there's a blockage that takes its place. For some of you, that blockage is the law. You took somewhere. Okay, I don't want feelings anymore. This is where we talked about the glasses. This is really hard, folks, because I'm looking at a bunch of different people with a bunch of different issues, and I'm trying to bring this around enough for everybody to get something out of it. But I can see I could get more detailed. Do you see what I'm saying, though? But try to get these basic things, because this is deep, and I would rather take a lot of people through it in a couple of weeks and get a bunch of people free at once than spend hours repeating a lot of this, okay? So you're going to have to keep notes. You're going to have to keep track of it for me, because I can't. It's just not the way I operate. But so here's what happened. Can I use your example, Carrie? Okay. And you can cut the name off or whatever from tape. All right. Because I really prayed this for you. I prayed this specifically last night for you, but then I prayed it for Doug because I heard something for Doug, and that was the part about sin, where I couldn't have seen Carrie's as a sin really, but then when I saw yours, then I started to see the law part, and God started putting it all together just this afternoon, okay? So I haven't had much time with this. And then I talked to Kurt, and I saw, well, Kurt's is not reasoning, where Laurie's is reasoning. Laurie has the same thing. She doesn't have the breakthroughs that she needs to get free and from this critical thing, because she lets reasoning or intellect, the Bible's word for that is carnal mindedness, but reasoning. And so it steals it and it causes unbelief. And there's areas in Margaret's life where reasoning gets in there and steals you being able to believe that you're going to be free or you're going to be healed. So we need to really look at reasoning. I think we've looked at it before, but we need to go deeper in it. But let me just give an example, because I know Carrie very well, and I love her with all my heart, and we're very dear friends. And the enemy is so mad that he couldn't get me mad. But so I started praying. I said, Lord, change the fallow ground. Show me what to do. This woman is going to be a powerhouse for you because of the gifting, because of the calling, because of the things in there. But God, what is it that stands in the way from the presence of God? What is it that stands in the way from the anointing just saturating this? And that's when the Lord started to give me this. And so I'm just going to give an example. And it's not necessarily even a true example. It's just an example of someone with this thing to the extreme of pain. There was abandonment, not really abandonment, but her parents left when she was really young to go away for a while. Thinking she was a baby, it wouldn't matter. No biggie deal to them. But as a little kid, she remembers it, and she remembers feeling abandoned, and it really hurt. And it was no major abusive thing. She can't tell you of horrible trauma in her life. She's never had some of the stuff you've been through. But it really, Satan really used it to hurt her, to make her feel afraid, and to make her feel like something was wrong with her. I believe because of that, there's self-hate there. But I think it's been covered up. And I know in her knowing, she doesn't hate herself. But I believe deep down, because they left her, something's wrong with her, and God's tearing it around. The problem is anointing can't get to that and totally wash it away. So therefore, you have this really hurt person who's very hurt and very afraid and afraid of being alone, afraid of stuff we've ministered to. Okay, now you got that there. Well, to deal with it, because of all her giftings, because of her talent, because of her intellect, because of all the things God's given her for his glory, she chose to be led by the enemy somehow to build a house that says how she doesn't need to feel anything. She doesn't want the hurt anymore, so I'm just locking the hurt away. I don't want it. Then he says, well, you don't have to feel this. Just come over here, and we'll give that away so it won't hurt you, which is a lie, because it's always an underlying hurt. It's always an underlying pain. There's always an underlying things aren't right, okay? But that's so painful. Who wants to stay here and feel like that? Who wants to feel rejected? Who wants to stay here and feel condemnation? Who wants to stay here and feel that something wrong? Oh, not me. I'm going to jump over here, and Satan's going to take you over here and say, no, I'll build a house on self-love. Look at what I can do. Look at who I am. And pretty soon you take the giftings and the things that God's really given you, and the abilities and all this kind of stuff and your intellect and everything, and you begin to build your own self really with what God's given you. But you but you've disconnected from your Creator in a sense, because you buried that person you thought He made over there. So now you take on all these things to have friendships. You take on all these things for people to like you, and you don't really have intimacy because you really don't even know. You left that over there with feelings. I can't get hurt if I have this. But then after people know you for a while, it gets kind of shallow. And it's like, don't you get this? Don't you get? And you feel yourself like you're being rejected every time something happens. Well, then you come into this, and now God, everybody else is entering the presence of God. You're going after God with all your heart. You're not cussing. You're not doing this. You're following all the rules, blah, 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 blah. You're reading, you're giving, whatever you can. And yet you can't enter in. And you can't enter in because you left your emotions and intimacy back here locked away in a bottle and decided to build a house of all your good stuff without your feelings because it's too painful. And then you got reasoning as the king in this house. The main thing I got going for me is how smart I am. The main thing I have going for me is how I can figure this out and that out, and I can solve everybody's problems, and I can get everybody everywhere they need to go and buying what they need. And then you add shopaholic to this thing, like, well, I can buy everything what they need to make them like me. And so you have this desperate thing going on that really wears you out and wears other people out after a while. But it makes you feel better because you're not over there hurting, okay? Now you got the Holy Spirit who really came in. And He's really building something real. And so there's been some real breakage. There's been some real things. But it's taken a lot to burst through and get it. And you've had to hang in there because you say, God, you know, I know that like there's fruit here. I know these things. I want to stay here. And thank God for that, because you'd have been long gone by now otherwise. And then God gives people a heart to keep you pulled in and whatever. So I'm thinking, God, what do we do to get? Because I've seen this house go down. I've seen the happy house go down. The look at me, blah, blah house. But then all you see when that house is down, all you see is a really sad, hurting person. So it makes it very difficult. I don't want to touch that house, because the minute I do, instead of conviction coming and cleansing coming and healing coming comes, instead the coping mechanism is run back to this house and feel condemnation and feel shame. And feel rejection. And so it's like it causes an unteachability to come in. Or someone being looking. And pretty soon the enemy's going to wear it down and say, see, they just don't want you to have any fun. They just don't want this. They don't want that. I mean, I can't imagine all the thoughts that Satan hits to say, you know, you just don't fit in. It has to be horrible. And the whole time, I'm saying to the Lord now, okay, Lord, how do we get that house down where the word is? How do we get that house down so we can get the anointing on it? Because you know what? The anointing comes on you even if you have the evil house. If you still have the self-hate like Paul had. It's funny. Even with self-hate, you can still enter into the presence of God. Even with self-hate, As long as you're not in blatant sin, you can enter into the presence of God, and that will build you up and make you feel loved, make you feel unconditionally loved, prepare you to totally not believe those lies anymore.